Reading 10, Tiger Hunt. Brigade training, night operations, and other military horrors over, I needed a break. Christmas was coming. I wrote to Mother's brother Jimmy Knowles, a magistrate in nearby Bareilly, and wangled an invitation to his forest rest house in Haldu Parau for his Christmas shoot. His reputation as a crack shot was almost on a par with that of his good friend Jim Corbett, the legendary hunter of man-eating tiger. Mystery man, an uncle to claim, an uncle to shed light on Mother's family. I looked forward to our meeting. Chapter 38. Tiger Hunt with Uncle Knowles. The dawn train delivered me mid-afternoon to a remote station in the Morghati area of the Terai jungle, renamed the Corbett Tiger Reserve. I lasted 1 minute riding the bone-breaking, unsprung bullock cart sent to transport me the 20 miles to Uncle Jimmy's rest house. "We'll walk ahead, Shikari," I said, leaping out and handing him my rifle. We struck out along a narrow path between the sal's forest sparse trunks into the deeper jungle. Spongy underfoot, silence echoed. 2 10-mile hunting blocks to cross lay ahead to Jimmy's. Shooting was forbidden except in self-defense. My trigger finger itched. Unheard, each put up small game and spotted sambar deer. About 5 miles in, Shikari froze, mid-step. "Bug! Sahib! Bug!" he whispered urgently, handing me my rifle and jabbing his finger right of the track. "Maro, Sahib, Maro, shoot!" Standing in the direction, Shikari indicated nothing. So, when a full-grown tiger stalked calmly across the track 10 yards ahead of us, I blinked, astonished. With a low growl, he crouched and sprang high onto a rock across the path. Lord of the jungle, yawning, he dismissed us with a show of yellowed fangs and the longest pink length of tongue before settling, stretched, flat, tail dangling. "Maro! Maro! Shoot! Shoot!" implored my orderly, prepared to bend the no-shooting rule. Much to his disgust, I handed back my gun. My hands were tied. I couldn't argue self-defense. The low red sun tightened the forested foothills, switched out its daylight as we reached Haldu Parau block. No longer able to see clearly, I waded a river's swift blackness and scrambled its mud bank onto a clearing and made for the beacon of light of the rest house. Uncle Jimmy greeted me with the customary British firm handshake and stiff upper-lipped comment, "Your mother's well, I trust?" It was the only personal reference he made during my visit. Over tea, in front of a roaring fire, we skated, formal. "How's India treating you? Been trekking at all? My man met you all right?" I told of the yawning bag on the first hunting block. In anticipation of my visit, he said he'd already staked a bullock below a machan built where a tiger or tigress lived. On the veranda, in the moonlight, after dinner, a flickering hurricane lamp on the table, the jungle vibrated alive. Deep roars echoed off the nearby hillside, setting off a chain of alarm calls. Shrills, chattering, shrieks and coughs, warnings from frightened chitars, barking kakars, monkeys and roosted peafowl. Eyes straining, nothing moved save the dappled shadows and sliding silver of the moonlit river. Jungle music orchestrated sleep. Knots of tangled questions taunted my dreamings, rolled back and forth. "Emma, my mother, tell me, Jimmy, tell about you and her, your childhood. My grandparents, Isabella and Samuel. What bad thing happened back then? I so need to understand." Jimmy returned the ball, unraveled. Dawn came all too soon. I couldn't broach the subject, not once during the remainder of my visit. Jimmy never volunteered. His earlier statement, "Your mother's well, I trust," was just that, a statement, not a question, to prevent further discussion. First thing, Jimmy checked whether the unfortunate bullock had survived the night. "Taken?" he inquired, hopeful. "Taken?" It was the same each day, 6 mornings. Jimmy's face fell. "Can't sit around. We'll go gooming. Local Raja loaned me an elephant." Clinging to our seats in the rocking howdah, Jimmy hoped to spot Tiger and Leopard. I hoped I didn't lose my breakfast. Onward plodded Tiku the elephant, flattening waist-high grass, clambering slopes and fallen trees. Relentless, she waded Mud River and raising nothing larger than jungle fowl, quail, and sacred peafowl. Morning 3. Trumpeting wild elephants had us quickly lumbering in the opposite direction and away from a dangerous encounter. Morning 4. Gooming, hiking again. Day 7. Shikari beamed.
Kill! Bullock all dead! Sahib Doles, half only, gone! Bag, come back!
The tiger or tigress had dined during the night. The prospect of spending a night perched alone in a machan excited Jimmy more than it did me.
Machan ready. Mahout waiting, sahib.
It was time for me to kill a bag. After dinner, armed with a double-barreled express rifle borrowed from my regiment, I stepped from Tiku's back onto the machan's rough wooden perch 15 feet up in the trees above the kill. A little too in range of a tiger's leap, I mused. Feeling as vulnerable as the poor bullock below, I settled uneasily, back pressed to a trunk. Tiku's plod and snap of crushed vegetation receded. The jungle closed about me, silent, menacing, expectant. A three-quarter moon illuminated the kill below. Cool night air seeped into every bone through my blanket. Pulling it tighter, I shivered. A mouthful of hot coffee from my thermos flask perked me up. On high alert, I checked and rechecked. Yes, both barrels loaded. Safety catches on. My buttocks numbed. The machan's boards hardened. Cold became colder. Still, it was impossible to stay awake. Eyelids fluttered. I dozed off. A cheetle's high-pitched shriek shocked me alert. A tiger roared somewhere left. I urgently needed a leak. Straining to pinpoint the sound, an answering roar blasted right. Two tigers, both headed for the kill. I raised my rifle to my shoulder. A minute passed. Two. Into the moonlight glade stalked the crowned king, a male tiger, magnificent. It was an easy shot. I lined my sights immediately behind his right shoulder and pulled the trigger. With a furious roar, he recoiled, springing back into the trees as the bullet hit the ground, grazing his nose. I reeled, almost knocked from the machan by the rifle's mighty recoil. Owing to some fault, both barrels fired simultaneously. "You arrant ass!" I cursed myself. "You blithering arrant fool!" A borrowed gun, one I'd not used before, I cursed. How could I have neglected testing its sights beforehand? Hurricane lamp, light through the jungle, and the crash of Tiku's heavy steps announced Uncle Jimmy's arrival an hour later. Jimmy's sour face said it all. Disgust. Utter disbelief. Having heard the shot, he expected to find a dead tiger or a tigress lying at my feet. Shamefaced, I confessed. Our relationship ended. 2 days remained. On the 31st of December, I rejoined the battalion.